Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Here we are on Christmas Eve Eve. How many of you are going to be busy on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and the day after? We have family all over and some people we're connecting with. This is a great time for relationship and family. More and most important relationship is our relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. The wonderful gift of life, the Son of God. Everyone has been handed. I'm going to ask that you would fight temptation. If nothing else, this is going to be a temptation. This is right here in your hand and right close by. And so we're going to save that for the end of the service. It's something that we're going to do as we close out the service. I do want to alert some ushers, Brother Barry Bentle, and if you could, at the end of the service, when I give the high sign, you can go back and turn off the lights in the sanctuary from the back main switch, and it'll help us with the effect a little bit as we conclude our service. We're looking at Luke chapter 2 and the four greatest Christmas songs. We have a number of people that are out and others that are here with the holidays, and we welcome you. We're glad that you're here. It's also good to have Mr. and Mrs. Will Sanders with us this morning. Yeah, right back there. Recently wed and new residents of White Settlement. So life is changing and synchronizing. And so as you think about it, just, you know, God has grace to put that all together, doesn't he? And it's a learning experience. And we just pray God's grace on you. First Christmas together as a couple, man and wife. I remember that. You know, Tosh and I had a first Christmas together, husband and wife. And then the next Christmas, we had our first Christmas with our first baby, Cameron. And off we went to the races. So, and here we are now celebrating Christmas. And we'll have at least 75% of our children with us and one granddaughter with us this Christmas season. And it's just neat to experience life together and to find his grace all along the way. The four greatest Christmas songs of all time. Now, that right there is an opportunity to differ on opinion, but you're going to humor me as I lay it out from Scripture, right? You're back here for the fourth installment. So far, we've discovered the songs by a Levitical priest who was trained and taught how to sing the Scripture, how to chant the Scripture in a Judaic way, and to know the Word of God very intimately. We found a teenage mother-to-be by the name of Mary, who sang a wonderful Magnificat. And then we found, last week, angels who sang to shepherds, the lowest of the low, the highest of the high, singing to the lowest of the low, Excelsis, highest, of the highest praises of God. And so we're going to go into number four. The hint is there out to the left. Everybody say Dimittis. Some of you are speaking Latin and you didn't even know it. Here are the top four Christmas songs in Saudi Arabia. That's kind of sad, isn't it? Because they do not celebrate the birth and the life of Jesus, the Christ of God. How about this, maybe even sadder still, the top four in Israel? They do not celebrate the coming of the Messiah in past tense, in the person of Jesus. That can remind us that there's still some good news to tell in there. That there's some people who do not accept and do not receive Jesus. And what is going to be the glory of Israel? The reception of the Messiah, the gift. We're going to keep offering because God keeps offering, doesn't he? And we just need to remember to pray for the peace and the consolation of the whole world, which is going to be found only in receiving Christ. And the consolation and hope of Israel met in the Christ of God, Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. In fact, before we go any further, let's just pray. There's still a large portion of the world that has not heard and has not accepted that gift. So, Lord, we're sobered by the fact that there are nations on the planet that are so against the giving of the great gift of life, that people can be killed or released from the country and exiled or shamed because of their acceptance of the greatest gift of life found in Jesus the Messiah, Issa, the one who was promised to the Virgin, one who was promised to humanity. So Lord, we just pray over the segments of the world that have not yet heard or not yet received of that gift. And Lord, we pray for a tenderness, for a softness, for an openness, and for an opportunity. We pray for Israel. We pray for the consolation, for the peace, for the answering in a positive way to that offer of the gift of eternal life. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. The top four downloads of Christmas music. Are you ready? The Christmas Canon by the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Number four. And how many of you have seen that video that appears on the internet, usually especially around Christmas time, of that person who put all of their lights and synchronized them to Christmas music? And the boom, 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 and so on, to Trans-Siberian Orchestra. And it really, I'm sure it helped the Trans-Siberian Orchestra and their music, and to boost it. Another one was by the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, number three, Christmas Eve, Sarajevo, by Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Some of you are going, what? But if you heard it, you'd say, yeah, I've heard that. Number three, and number two, Mistletoe by Justin Bieber. Number two, greatest download frequency, times they are a-changing, and not reel-to-reel, not 8-track, not cassette, not CD, the digital download to cell phone or to memory stick. And then number one, All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey. Some of you are immediately saying that would not be my top four. That's the top four digital downloads of Christmas music. Now, let's go to one of the greatest Christmas songs of all time, okay? And we find it here in the book of Luke. It's entitled Simeon's Song. And we get that Latin word. I just boiled it down like Paul Harvey. So you would think about the rest of the story to that one single word, dimittis. Now you may... And that word simply means dismiss. To dismiss. To be dismissed. And it comes from a phrase here that is found in Simeon's song when he says, now you may dismiss your servant in peace. What does it mean to dismiss? To release after accomplishing the task. To move out of the way for the next thing. And you know what? We hear it later when the subject of Zechariah's song, John the Baptist, goes before Jesus in his ministry, has picked up very first chapter of Mark, and later in Luke and Matthew, and we hear him saying, I must decrease, he must increase. Simeon grants us an insight that comes only from deep devotion and singular-minded devotion. Here is somebody who is described in Luke chapter 2, reading from verse 22 through 35, and it reads this way. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him, or Jesus, to Jerusalem, parenthetically, from Bethlehem, to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. So what they're doing is they're waiting 41 days after the birth of a male. He has been circumcised on the eighth day. Then there are 33 more days that she is considered unclean or separated from the people of Israel. And after those days of separation, 41 days later, we find them in the temple in Jerusalem in order to bring an offering. And so it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. Love how Luke writes, as he has been under the ministry of the Apostle Paul, he's looking back over even Old Testament history, and Luke is connecting the dots for us and saying, look, this Holy Spirit that is with us, upon us, and it is commonplace amongst us as believers, he was moving even then, he was doing even then, in a limited sense, with few people, but he was working nonetheless. And so under the tutelage, the direction, and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Simeon, who was righteous and devout, was waiting for the consolation of Israel. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Isn't that awesome? Can you imagine that, receiving that revelation? When you're in prayer, devotion to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit reveals to you, you will not die until you actually place your eyes upon, you see the Lord's Messiah. Isn't that exciting? Wow, exciting to have that kind of revelation. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. What a great revelation. Did you hear yourself mentioning that? If you're Jewish, you heard it in the last part of that. But if you are a Gentile, then you heard it in the first part of that. A light of revelation for the Gentile. This wonderful, powerful revelation that hadn't been really considered by the prophets and the people of God for all this time, for centuries. And now, as Paul would put it, this is what he's doing. He's putting together a church. He is taking the two, Gentile and Jew, and he's making them one. And he is taking them unified by faith in him, expressed in Jesus Christ. And now they're counted as the seed of Abraham. Just as he said, the seed of the earth, we can speak of the Israelites. The seed of the stars, we can speak of the Gentiles, those that would come by faith and form up this wonderful, wonderful revelation of the church. So he blesses them, and he says that. Then he goes on, and he says, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Why is that marvelous? They understand him being the glory of his people Israel. But now they've just received something they probably haven't ever considered before, the light of revelation for the Gentile. They had lived in Nazareth. They had lived amongst the Gentiles and probably were grated by it, G-R-A-T-E-D, every day. They lived in the area of the tribe of Naphtali and Zebulun, some of the least tribes of Israel. They just hadn't had any great leadership out of those tribes. They were part of the northern tribes. They were situated to the north. They had had incursions by the Assyrians, by the Syrians. They had been under the cruel ministry of Ahab and Jezebel. They were the first to go into exile and spend the longest in dispersion. And now in this regathering, it was hard for them to be very excited at all about the Gentile or for the Gentile. And in the middle of this, they get a shockaroo. How many of you know what a shockaroo is? It's just something you just don't expect. It's something amazing, something out of left field. If you're going to be led by the Spirit, hearing from the Spirit, and by the way, do you know that that is the birthright of every believer? To be led by and to hear the voice of the Father expressed by the Spirit in their spirit. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? And this couple, descendants of David, from the tribe of Judah, living on the frontier of the Gentile land, and finding constantly hearing the language of Rome, and hearing the language of the Assyrian and the Syrian, and hearing the trade languages, and enjoying hearing the Hebrew and the singing in Jerusalem, but most of the time living life out on the frontier where Hebrew was poorly spoken and other languages tended to dominate. In the middle of all that, they hear this man of God speak to them and say, he is the light for the Gentiles and the glory of his people, Israel. Fresh revelation, fresh insight, and it just caught them by surprise. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against. How many would much rather have him just be there for the rising of many in Israel and be a sign that is positively spoken for? But folks, we've been called to be on a team. We've been called into the sphere of the influence of one Jesus of Nazareth, one who was born of Mary and Joseph, supposed as it was that he was his father, being the Son of God and the Son of Man. And this man speaks under the anointing and unction of the Holy Spirit and says, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against. Much of what is going on in the world today is the sign of the Messiah being spoken against. The world can be easily divided today by those who are for Jesus and those who are against him. Then there's a whole host of people that really have no opinion, and they're in that valley of decision. He is to be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. How's that for a happy Christmas song? How's that for a nativity celebration? That this child will bring division. This child will cause division and heartburn within Israel, and he will cause division and heartburn within the world at large. And how many of you know that the devil and the world are having a Mylanta moment right now? Huh? It's been going on for centuries. And it sounds simplistic, and some would even say narrow or bigoted, but it really comes down to what has the world done with this gift that was given one holy night in a little town called Bethlehem. This song is virtually unknown. We know that Justin Bieber's Mistletoe is millions and millions of downloads. We know that Trans-Siberian Orchestra falls easily off the lips of many people, even though it's a pretty long term. And people even know that it's Christmas Eve, Sarajevo. They know about Mariah Carey and All I Want for Christmas is You. That's what I sing to my wife when she asks me, what do you want for Christmas? All I want for Christmas is you. Right? No, really, she says. I got my greatest Christmas gift 30-something years ago. And it's just all downhill from here, so don't worry about it. I've already got my Christmas. Not with that gift, but with the other ones. I mean, how can you top that? And I'm going to stop digging. Here's that fourth song of Christmas, Now Dismiss Me. Now, that sounds kind of strange. What kind of celebration is that? Dismiss me. Now, let's first of all, when we hear that word dismissed, very often we hear about something military. So here's what God did. He enlisted some people. He went to them and he said, how about it? I'm looking for somebody. And here, maybe the U.S. Army, is it, that's looking for a few good men? Or the few, the proud, the Marines, right? God is looking for whosoever will. He's not coming and saying, if you can meet the following criterion, maybe, just maybe, you'll be good enough. He comes to us and he simply asks, are you willing? Whosoever will may come. He's not asking us to come with righteousness. He's not asking us to come with a gift fitting for a king. He's simply asking if he may have position in our life of preeminence. If he may lead and direct our life. How about it? Joseph was challenged by God and he was enlisted. And you know what Joseph said? Joseph said, yes. Mary had an angel sent to her. Joseph had a dream and an angel. Mary had an angel sent to her and said, how about it? This is the plan. How about it? Would you like to be a part of that? And Mary said, I've been hearing about this all my life. I'm ready. Sign me up. I know it's inconvenient. I know it will cause a row. I know it will cause division and difficulty. But I know where I'm living and I know what's happened in my life. But I know that you're the God of Israel. And you love to take the low things and exalt them. You love to confound the wise. You love to do awesome things. And she said, my soul magnifies the Lord. Joseph and Mary came in willing obedience and said, we're willing. Joseph signed up to be a foster father. Mary signed up for her womb to carry as a surrogate the very Son of God, knowing that she had not violated her virginity. And she knew what was going to happen in her life, and she had already been enlisted by God. Then Joseph and Mary come to the temple with an offering. They came commemorating their firstborn son and basically saying, this is the best. This is our firstborn. We offer him to you. Just like Samuel was offered, just like others were offered. And they actually offered a redemption offering, saying, instead of you actually physically taking from us our firstborn, we're going to lift him before you as a figure, and we're going to offer a sacrifice, these two doves in his place. Joseph and Mary not only obeyed God, but they came with an offering to God. How many of you know that we can make offerings with a bad attitude? Or we can even give gifts because we're obligated. But how much fun is it to give a gift or give an offering with a grateful heart, with a deliriously happy, cheerful disposition, and say, man, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Amen? So they came with an offering before God. And then we have Simeon right there, righteous and devout. He had been enlisted by God. And you know what he did? He signed up. He was there faithfully at the temple and he was devoted. You know what his single-minded devotion was? God has made a promise that he is going to redeem Israel. And I am here to remind God of that promise, not because he is stubborn, but because we need to remember as Israel. Let me be the voice constantly lifted in prayer to God to remind Israel, to remind those that are around me that God has made a promise and his promise shall not fail. God is not in the failing business. God is in the promise offering and covenant keeping business. Israel, come on, get it together. Israel, turn your heart towards him. Move towards him. Because he's wanting to do this for us, and he just burned with a devotion to the Lord. He had been enlisted by God. Now, not only is there an enlisting by God, but there is an entering his presence. I love those words of David. Mary and Joseph knew them well because David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, was back in their lineage. He was the great king of Israel, and he had presided over Judah and was that great king over Israel's glory days and set the stage perfectly. In fact, the Messiah was prophesied to be a rebuilding of the fallen house of David. And there was something burning within them. And we have Mary entering into his presence. How do we enter his presence? With thanksgiving in our heart. With gratitude. With a grateful spirit. And so we can hear that in her Magnificat. I'm not going to rehash that for you this morning, but let it suffice to say the Holy Spirit was upon Mary. What did the angel say? And the power of the Almighty will overshadow you, and that which is conceived in you and born of you will be of God. by the power of the Spirit. So she entered his presence, and his presence laid heavily upon her. The anointing was upon her, and as a result, there is this conception. There is this bringing forth of the Son of God. The Holy Spirit's upon Mary, and the Holy Spirit is upon Simeon. The same Holy Spirit that is upon Mary is the same Holy Spirit that is upon Simeon. He is anointed by the Spirit. And you know what? The Holy Spirit has revealed something to him. You will not die before your eyes see not a vision, not an idea, not a painting or a rendition, not an object lesson, but until your actual eyeballs see that one. And where do we find Simeon? We find him in the temple. He's looking for his divine appointment. He wants to be in the presence of God. And they understood at the time that the presence of God was made manifest at the temple, at the place of the holy place. And we find him getting as close as he can get as a man of Israel. We find him in the court of men. We find him daily staying in Jerusalem and involving himself in the worship. The crowds came and went, but Simeon consistently visited that temple constantly because he had a promise. He had been in the presence of God, and in the presence of God, he heard a promise. That's something you can take home with you today. When you get in the presence of God, that is when you hear and you receive the promise. Maintaining yourself in the promise of God, in the presence of God, will bring you to the fulfillment of the promise. The problem is very often as we leave too soon. We make it a come and go occasion, but here was a man who learned how to stay, to enter his presence and stay in his presence. And what happened was the Holy Spirit began revealing God's hidden plan. Sometimes we think about God as mysterious and things hidden. That's true. But he also says, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. He says, if you knock, it will be opened. If you seek, you'll find. If you ask, it will be answered. But there's a curious verb tense there where he says, knock, begin knocking, keep on knocking, and stay in the position of knocking. Seek, keep on seeking, and maintain yourself in the position of seeking. Ask, keep on asking, and stay in the position of asking, because when you do that, you will have it opened, you will hear, you will see, you will have it answered. The thing is not that God is fickle. The problem is we are. And here was Simeon who understood the secret was to get in his presence and stay there, to go after the promise and not let up. Because God is not fickle and unwilling. Man is fickle and unwilling. And we need to go after him when we go after him with all of our heart. What a great example. And so they experience the presence of God. Mary does, Joseph does, Simeon does. Now, when that happens, we can then experience his goodness. We can then experience his goodness. We then actually get to see the fulfillment. What's the difference between people who take the promises of God, hear about them, and don't enter in, and those who hear the promises of God, then reposition their life and begin to pursue them? The difference is those people who pursue end up seeing. They end up connecting with the grace of God. They end up seeing the miraculous. They end up seeing the answers of God and the movement of God. And the difference that very often separates it is whether one believes or one doesn't. Because when one believes, a pattern changes in their life and they become seekers. When somebody doesn't believe, they don't seek. Nobody in their right mind will seek something they don't believe in. Hello? It just doesn't make any sense. But we will seek after something we believe in. And so something had happened in Simeon's life, and he is experiencing the goodness of God. Does it get any better then walking in the temple one day after the Holy Spirit is revealed to you? You will not die before you see the Lord's Christ. Every morning you get up and say, I'm up. I haven't seen the Lord's Christ. Man, I'm invincible. I'm not sure if he's walking in front of chariots. I'm not sure what kind of risk-taking Simeon. If he's a wise man, he's not doing that. I mean, he's living carefully. But man, he gets up, and I just wonder how many mornings had he got up and say, is today going to be the day when I have a divine appointment, and on that divine appointment, I get to actually see the Messiah? Wow. You go to bed at night, say, this day is over, and I haven't seen the Messiah. Maybe it's tomorrow. Something has been working in the spirit of Simeon, and this day he goes to the temple, and now he just happens across this couple. And in her arms is this baby, a baby just like every baby. No, there are not angel choruses over his head. He's not, his face is not shining like the sun, and Mary's trying to cover it because people, you know, the sunlight is just bursting out here. There is nothing unusual about this baby. It's just another Hebrew baby coming and a mother offering her cleansing for her firstborn son. 41 days after the birth. They know when he was born by the fact that she shows up. They just subtract 41. Everybody can do the math. So she walks into this temple. And Simeon knows in his spirit, this is not just any baby. This is not just any boy, Hebrew baby. This is the Messiah. This is the one that was promised for centuries and millennia. This is the one that was promised in Genesis chapter 3, the seed of the woman. This is he, the government shall be on his shoulders. And I just wonder what happened in his spirit when he realized this is the day. Something leaps within his spirit. The Holy Spirit bears witness with him and says, that's the couple, that's the boy. And he goes over and scoops up that baby, takes him in his arms. And this is what he says. Now you may dismiss me. This was the only thing and number one on my bucket list. This is it. This is why I eat. This is why I sleep. This is why I breathe. This is why I sing. This is why I read the Word of God. This has been all that my life has been about. You promised me, and I've been in your presence every day, Father, and I've been looking for the consolation of Israel, and now here he is. Wow. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. When God promises, he fulfills. But you have to be at the temple every day looking for Joseph and Mary. You have to be at the temple every day not quite sure what it's going to look like and be like. And you can have all of those assumptions of what it's going to be. But he's there. He's light on his feet, loose in his sandals. And he's saying, where do I go? Where should I stand? What do I need to do? I want to intersect with this great gift. I do want you to notice another thing. The scripture only records two people that intersect with the greatest gift of all in the temple. Simeon and Anna. Anna of the tribe of Asher, whose husband had died, and she had devoted herself to worship in the temple. She was one courtyard outside of Simeon. She was a woman in Israel and had to come to the outer court. But come to the outer court, she did. Simeon had been in the court of men. And now he intersects them out there in that division between the outer and inner courts. And he holds God's promise in his arms. There's only two people who were, though Israel all claimed to be expecting the Messiah, there's only two that got to meet him. Think about that. God doesn't want it to be rare, folks. He wants all of us to see his glory. He wants all of us to encounter him. And yet, in this story, only Simeon and Anna. He actually sees the fulfillment. He actually sees his preparations. And he actually gets to see the light for revelation to the Gentiles. And he actually gets to see the glory of your people, Israel. God is good. God's goodness has extended throughout all the earth because he has made an offer to Jew and Gentile alike. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Ho, anyone that is thirsty. Anyone that is thirsty, let him come and drink of this water. And he who has no money, Let him come and buy and eat. Isn't God so good? He'll give you the money for the ticket. He'll pay the price himself. And all you have to do is respond to the invitation. Respond. Simeon's song expresses a reality. Everybody rises and falls on this gift. It's really what it's about, folks. It's about this gift. And this gift can be divisive. The gift himself spoke up later in the Gospels, and you know what he said? He said, I did not come to bring peace on the earth, but a sword. I wonder if he's connecting back to this prophecy by Simeon. He said, look, this is going to be divisive. How many of you know Jesus is divisive? Huh? You can talk about the man upstairs and people can get along with you. But talk about the express glory of God revealed in the person of Jesus the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the gift. And Jesus himself said, no man comes to the Father but by me. Soften it up. People, I'm not encouraging you to do this, but people soften it up. No, there's many ways to God. Tune into television and hear the so-called former Christians who sit there and espouse, there's many ways to God. No, there are not. God knew there was only one way to him. He provided that way and one that we could receive in the person of an infant that could be held in the hands of an older man and be blessed and say, now you may dismiss me because I can go in peace now. I have seen your goodness. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. It's not just a Civil War song. But it goes back earlier than that. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. This is him of which the prophet wrote, upon his government will be the, upon his shoulders will be all government. And of the end of his kingdom, there shall be no end. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the answer to sin. He is the solution to the fallenness of man. He's it. There's only one way. This is him. This is his name. And then it would declare in the book of Acts, there is no salvation in any other name except in the name of what? Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Let's express some reality. Christmas, you know, it's a very romantic time, and Lord knows that we are deeply steeped in all kinds of manner of traditions and things that are total flights of fancy. Amen? I mean, reindeer flying. Right? Now, some of you are crushed. What? They can't fly? Yeah. Can't do it. We're accustomed to suspending facts and belief for those kind of things. Everything rises and falls on this gift. The thoughts of the heart are revealed by this gift. Jesus is a revealer of the heart. The Holy Spirit is a revealer of the heart. And I know it's not a happy part of the course. This is not going to rank up there in downloads with All I Want for Christmas Is You or Christmas in Sarajevo by Trans-Siberian Orchestra. It's not going to make the top 100, even the silly songs of Christmas that we've already been discussing, the most disliked and the most liked and the most popular and the Christmas carols and those other things. Those will always make the top 100. But in God's book, there's somebody who makes the top, and his name is Jesus. Everything's about him. Everything rotates around him. Everything revolves around him. The thoughts of the heart are revealed by this gift. That makes us uncomfortable. Why? Jesus said, men love darkness rather than light. They rather hide than be revealed, right? Let's be honest now. It's a real revealer of the heart. And Simeon sings that. And then he turns to Joseph and Mary and says, even you will be affected. You, Mary, are going to have a deep plunging of the Word of God into your spirit. You, Joseph, are going to be discerned very down to the joint and marrow, the difference between the bone and the joint, down between the soul and the spirit. You need a Savior. Unto you is born this day. We want to hear it just to the shepherds, but aren't you glad that message was to Mary and Joseph too? Yes, Mary needs a Savior. Joseph needs a Savior, was born into their household, and you and I need a Savior, even though we were born on a long line of Gentiles and sinners. Amen? None are exempt from the implications of this gift. It's going to discern us. It's going to deal with our heart. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes gift receiving is a tough thing. How many of you ever had this happen? Oops, they got me a gift, and that's one more person I need to get a gift for now. Now, don't raise your hand or don't point to somebody. But you deal with that. When somebody blesses you with a gift and you go, oh, boy, it's not going to work in the budget. Oh, how would? And that begins, what does it do? It reveals something in here. It can reveal some embarrassment. It can reveal some uncomfortable feelings. And that's precisely why sometimes people wrestle with gift giving or gift receiving. I think we actually wrestle with gift receiving way more than we do gift giving. One of the reasons that it becomes uncomfortable is because it reveals something in our own heart. Now, what are we going to do with the greatest gift of all? Wow, if we do that with a turtleneck sweater or a pack of Lifesavers and some chewing gum in the stocking, what are we going to do with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords? What are we going to do with the Prince of Peace? What are we going to do with love wrapped in human flesh and presented to us in that vulnerable position of an infant, that he will come and that we can receive him and he will challenge us? Maybe that's why Simeon's song's not in the top 10 in the world. But you know what? I'm really not expecting God's songs to be top anything in the world. We probably have a problem, because it's for the people of God. We march to a different drummer, and we sing a different song. We hear a different chorus master. We hear a different worship leader. And we just know that we're just going to be a wee bit out of step. Really, we're going to be a whole lot out of step, right? And we're just going to be weird. We're going to be strange. Wow. And as Peter puts it, we're going to be peculiar. He's called us a peculiar people. We are called out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are called to be a priesthood of God and a royal nation. And we're called to represent the King of Kings and the Lord of all lords. Let's stand to our feet this morning. I'm going to ask Brother Barry if you could slip back and just douse all the lights. This morning we can make a response. So here's the question. How do you respond? How do you and I respond? You go ahead and just turn out the lights, Brother Barry, right now. That's good. Now I'm going to come up here and do that right here. Brother Matt, if you could get those. Thank you. And these two right here. We'll just leave the projectors on. That's not a problem. There we go. Thank you. So how do you and I respond to the call? How do you and I respond to the presence? Do you and I respond to the goodness? How do you and I respond, I got to look at my notes here, to the reality. Everybody turn your lights on, if you would. All of a sudden, it's a little bit lighter in here, isn't it? Take your hand and just put it over that. Completely douse it as much as you can. Simeon prayed, "Now dismiss me. Now dismiss me. My eyes have seen your glory." What a great call to humility. I wonder how many of us, including myself, in the world in which we live, that we're actually doing this. We're holding on tightly and we're saying, "What will they think? Well, how will that? Will that be divisive? I don't want to be a person of controversy." Jesus said, no man takes light and puts under a bushel, but he sets it up on the lampstand where it can give light to the whole house. What Simeon is saying is, Lord, I tend to hold on tightly, cover over, keep my voice quiet, and not make waves. But I'm asking you, Lord, for help. Would you dismiss me? Would you release power into my life where I can step out of the way and let your glory shine? Let's admit, we don't feel like we have much light, do we? But this is really getting in the way. Our flesh gets in the way. Our hand gets in the way. And if we're not careful, we live this tight-fisted existence. And I'm just wondering if this morning, as we wrap up this service, that our prayer could be joined with Simeon's prayer and his song. Lord, would you dismiss me? Lord, would you take me out of the way? And would you help me to lift you up and not be afraid and not be ashamed? And let your light shine through me as you will. I'm signing up. I'm enlisting. I want to get out of the way. And I want your light not to be constricted any longer. But Lord, dismiss me. Dismiss me. So Lord, we just lift up this light before you. This is our prayer right now. We want to sing a song and pray a prayer with Simeon. Lord, would you dismiss us? Lord, would you empower us and help us? There are some fears that we have. There are some intimidations that we're confronted with. There are some resistances in our life where you are calling to us, you are enlisting us, you are drawing, you are wooing, you are trying to reveal, you're wanting us to seek and knock and act, you're wanting us to move into an active and aggressive pursuit of you, but we're finding that we're tight-fisted, that we are afraid, that we're concerned, that the world presses in against us. They don't know our song. They don't know the tempo to which we're called. They don't know this. This makes no sense. It's foreign. Lord, it's hard. And we, not only that, but we're concerned that we just don't have much light. Lord, this is our prayer today as we end this service. Lord, would you dismiss us? Would you release us? Would you help us to get out of the way and let your light shine? We can't stand in a shopping cart in Walmart and preach to everybody. But there are surely, Lord, ways that your light can leak from our life in a more aggressive way, more bold. It doesn't have to be a great light, a vast light. The whole world doesn't need to come and try to meet us in the temple. They may not even be aware of who we represent and why we live the way we do. Lord, would you just help us in this Christmas season to sing with Simeon? Now you may dismiss your servant. Lord, I'm in your presence, but I don't want to get in your way. I want to walk in your way, but I don't want to get in the way. Lord, I'm praying for a release of your Holy Spirit in me and through me and to me and around me. Lord, we want to pray with the old Quaker preacher. More light, Lord. By us getting out of your way, dismiss us, we pray. In Jesus' name. And we ask it. And everybody said, amen and amen. You may want to keep the light on so you can... Nope. It's coming back up. The lights will come back out. The Lord bless you as you go. This is our final service before Christmas. The Lord bless you and keep you. Cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. And continue to pray that prayer this week. Lord, how can you dismiss me? I need help getting out of the way.